Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined for a special crossover event with Harrison Fagan. This is going to be part one here on the Locked On Lakers feed, and then for part two, make sure you guys go out and check out our show on SB Nation's feed. If you search Silver Screen and Roll on iTunes, you can find that show there as well. So let's make sure that we go out and check out both and subscribe and rate both of those shows as well. The way this is going to work, we're going to talk about the game specifically on this show. It was a wild one. Some weird stuff went down, including the starting lineup.
In fairness, that could describe any Lakers game this season.
Yeah.
Whatsoever.
Yeah.
Other than the Suns game.
Yeah.
Other than the Suns game, it was a wild one. Some crazy things went down. could really just describe any Lakers game this season.
That's going to be the recap of the season.
Yeah.
It was a wild one.
It was a wild one.
Shit happened.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about the game specifically on this one, and then we'll kind of broaden the scope and talk about we'll hit on some broader topics here as well, too. But that's what the focus of our weekly show is going to be in part two. So you guys know where to find the show. You guys know where to find us. Let's dive into this, though. The Lakers wind up losing 124-120. And once again, the defense kind of failed them at the end. Their offense, you want a hot take? I thought they executed better on defense than they executed on offense down the stretch.
Okay, that's actually interesting to me. I mean, they did stop the Timberwolves from scoring, I think, from basically the four-minute mark with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter until about, there was, 1 minute left when...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and even the shots that Butler was hitting, if your job on defense is to force the other team into a spot where the shot that they're taking is I guess if this goes in...
No, when Jimmy Butler goes into, I'm playing with the third stringers in my first practice back mode,
yeah.
There's not a whole lot you can do to stop him. It is a tour de force. Jimmy's back, y'all.
I really wish Woj would have tweeted that out.
This is what it looked like. This is the guy. Multiple sources are telling me that this is exactly what it looked like when Jimmy was with the third stringers.
Oh, man. Jimmy just needed to walk off the court and tell LeBron, you effing need me. I didn't feel that terrible about the way that the defense looked. Offensively, though, and this is a trend, when I said after the game that if Ingram is going to continue this, only be a spot-up shooter with LeBron out there. Don't quite... At one point, he scored 17 straight points.
It was in the first half. He had 17 points without LeBron on the floor and zero with LeBron on the floor.
Right, and then
finished first half is a small sample size, but it does line up with what we've seen throughout the season.
Exactly.
Where Ingram is just not very productive with LeBron on the floor.
He's just... It's not a natural fit.
So, yeah, I mean, to me, that means that doesn't... That was my big takeaway from this game, I think, was that kind of dichotomy of Ingram just not really being all that effective when LeBron was on the floor, and then looking like a superstar when he wasn't. And I'm not going to go so far as to say they shouldn't play together. That would be insane, because you can't have your second best player just not play at all while your best player is on the floor. Arguably your second best player, probably your second best player right now. And you can't just do that. But I do think that and I said this on Twitter during the game, I think the Lakers need to stagger them as much as possible. They need to get Ingram those reps without LeBron, and then try to get them comfortable together.
It's tough because the gap between Ingram and the next best wing defender is so stark.
Yeah.
Because you're going from Ingram to Kuzma? Or you're going from Ingram to Lance? Josh Hart hasn't been good on the perimeter this year.
No, I almost by default said KCP, but he hasn't even been. He just was last year.
He was almost non-present tonight. He played 7 minutes, did KCP.
That was more than I noticed him playing.
Plus 7 in those 7 minutes.
Wow, okay, the Lakers figured out the solution. He's not the KC problem, he's the KC solution.
Casey and the Sunshine Band. That's the tough thing about this. And again, we'll touch on this as we talk about the game and where the Lakers currently sit, both in this show and in the other one. But if you're Luke Walton, arguably your two best players haven't figured out a way to to play together and both be productive and as productive as they are when they aren't together. LeBron is always going to be LeBron, but even him, like
when he had the worst, like what did he end up finishing with?
Was it 27? He had 29, 10, and 7.
He had the worst 29, 10, and 7 game I've ever seen.
No, he had 29, 10, 7, 2 steals, and 2 blocks.
That was the least effective game with those stats I've ever seen. I don't know. I mean, LeBron's good. I think LeBron, he sets a high... He sets such a high standard for himself, yeah. But that it's like, you know, like obviously he was still good tonight, yeah. But this was probably, honestly, this might've been his least effective game as a Laker in a weird way. I just never felt like there was that moment where he was fully taking over and he was the most dominant player on the floor.
Yeah.
And I mean, at his age, it's still probably fair to expect that of him this year. But going forward, the Lakers are going to need other guys to step up, and they're going to need other guys to step up this year for them to be as good as they can. They can't just rely on LeBron going supernova. But this was not his best game either.
That's where the Ingram trend is so noticeable. Yeah. It's he would be the guy.
It hurts that Lonzo played badly tonight too.
Yeah. Well, it's 2 straight bad games. Would it shock you? We'll tease this. We'll talk about this in the second segment. But would it shock you if Rajon Rondo was the starting point guard in their next game?
No.
That's a bummer. Hang tight. We're going to come back and talk about that. That would suck.
The only reason I say that is because it seems like this starting lineup thing has been so reactionary, and partly by necessity because of the suspensions that obviously changed things, and then one guy coming back before the other guy came back, and there's just a lot of potential for movement there.
Yeah.
But Lonzo being named the definitive starter and then putting up 2 straight crap games does probably not make that the easiest dynamic for Luke to manage, where he's going to Rondo like, no, this guy outplayed you. He's gonna, you know, we're gonna keep him as the starter.
Yeah.
And it's not like Rondo's played incredibly either, but and so that probably helps Lonzo's case, at least, like, you know, like no motion is easier than making a motion in that case. But I wouldn't be surprised. They've gotten cute with it a little bit on some of these lineup changes. Like the thing tonight, I mean, I get you want to have probably your 5 best players on the floor at the same time, but just having Ingram or Kuz guarded, well, tonight it was LeBron guarded the 2, but even still, it just wasn't like an optimal defensive lineup at all. And you just, like, there's a reason the NBA is going to small ball, and it's because those guys are more often versatile defenders that can defend multiple positions. And,
right.
Like, it's just not fair to ask LeBron or Ingram or Kuzma to defend a 2 effectively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I absolutely. Poor Kuzma this year, and I kind of understand it. This, again, it comes back to the whole thing with Luke, is he's trying to find ways to make a flawed roster work. And if you're, it just so happens that 3 of the Lakers' most productive players, or potentially productive players, all play the same position.
Yeah.
Kuzma has been asked so far this year to go down and guard 5s, and not just any 5, by the way, like Jokic, he's had to go down there and guard him.
Kuz has played every position but
except point guard.
Yeah. I mean, he dribbled the ball up a couple times tonight, too. So there's one point where he was early in the first quarter where he dribbled the ball up.
Yeah.
And I didn't see Ball yet. Ball was the last player that I noticed while I was looking for the lineup. And I was like, are they playing without a point guard and having Kuz run point for a second? Like, this season's been so crazy, 7 games in with lineups, that honestly, like, I wouldn't throw that lineup out there intentionally. But if they played that lineup, it wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, Luke is trying to, and to his credit,
he's trying to find something that works.
He's
like a chef testing pasta for like its readiness by just throwing repeated handfuls of pasta at different sides of the room and saying and seeing what sticks.
I feel bad for the guy, because again, like, let's look here at roster construction. You have LeBron James, who there's a tried and true method of building a team around LeBron that features shooters, that features finishers, that features guys who just, they have a very specific skill set that works with LeBron. And the Lakers said, all right, we're going to go in a different direction, which, fine, okay. But they then went in that direction and committed to that direction to such extent that if that experiment didn't work out, and that's what we're kind of seeing right now, is it's not necessarily working out, then what? they don't have a counterpunch. They don't have a solution if this thing didn't work out. And you saw it. That's why Jonathan Williams came through in the way that he has and looks to be such a valuable player moving forward, because they literally had nobody else at his position that I trusted to play there. And you look at it now with when it comes to, you know, guys who are going to fit with LeBron, and they have two guys who, well, they technically have three guys who fit with LeBron traditionally. It's Josh Hart, it's KCP, though he hasn't shown it so far this year because he's been non-present, and it's Kyle Kuzma, and in theory, JaVale McGee, because he's such a great finisher around the rim. Other than that, though, it's a bunch of, well, if this, and this go right, then maybe we'll see. And look, and this is kind of one of the last things I want to say before we go into the break, is even while all this is going on, even with the roster as flawed as it is, and even with as frustrating as the season is currently, to be 2-5, as frustrating as that might seem, literally every single game they're in it.
Yeah.
And they're in it against good teams. And you know, as annoying as it might be, and eventually, like, these moral victories aren't going to effing matter at all. Because
I mean, they don't. They still don't matter because they don't count on the win column. But, like, we knew this team was going to struggle. We all said all summer that this is going to be a tough schedule to start out with. And then we're all acting surprised when they struggle a little bit as a new team coming together.
It's like, I ordered the mango habanero buffalo wings, and yet somehow I'm shocked that they were spicy.
Yeah. Actually, congratulations. You just imitated my mom at any restaurant where she, like, she orders something that says caliente on the menu. And then she's like, she tells the waiter, no, but it can't have spice. It's like, ma'am, I can't give you blackened chicken with no spices. That's not...
I'll have a cheeseburger, but please hold the cheese.
My brother has ordered that, too. So what we're finding out here is that my family is difficult at restaurants.
Not all that shocking, given... As somebody who has had to feed you a few times, it's not easy. It's not easy.
Yeah, you know, it's not easy not getting paid for podcasts either, so, you know.
All right, we're going to take one more second, and when we come back, we'll wrap a bow on this game specifically and where the Lakers sit coming out of this game. Again, I would have liked to seen, obviously, you'd rather they win, but I'm not going to walk away from this and say that the sky is falling. I still haven't reached that point yet, so I'll explain why in a second. So we'll get to that larger overriding point, but I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk more about Lonzo.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is that recent, like, he got put back into the starting lineup floating.
Like, the popular, like, what the narrative would be if we were all predicting this is, okay, he got the starting job, he's now going to have this new confidence and go out and play well. Mm-hmm. But as we've seen in so many ways, Lonzo kind of transcends normal narratives in a lot of ways. It's never the easy, predictable response. Route with him.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, this is just another trend where that's been going on. And, like, I just think it's just weird. It's weird that he was not able to play well. I mean, tonight that lineup was so funky that it's kind of, like, I don't really know where he could have been all that effective. Especially with some of this is not his fault, in the starting lineup at least, because Kuz was playing really well. So, of course, they're going to keep getting him the ball. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when Ingram was playing really well, they're going to keep feeding him. There were so many shot creators on the floor right there that there wasn't a whole lot for Lonzo to do, especially as hot as they all were. But then to let that completely take him out of the game is, like, that can't happen. And he's a second-year player. Yeah. And he just has a much brighter lens on him right now than most second-year players ever have, due to the LeVar thing, due to how polarizing his game is, and then due to playing on the freaking Lakers in the first year they signed LeBron.
Yeah.
So there's just, I think some of this is, you know, expected growing pains, but they're also, and this isn't fair, but they're also just growing pains he can't have, and the Lakers can't afford right now.
They really hurt. Look, the Lakers, if they're going to play as fast as they want to play, they have to get stops, right? And you would think that having one of the best young defensive point guards in the league would help them do that kind of thing. But when he opts for floating around on defense and not really doing anything, not committing to really making an impact on either end of the court, well, then at that point, I'm perfectly fine with Luke saying, you know what? You had your opportunity, bud. Take a seat next to me. Rajon, we know at least is going to go out there and try to do stuff. Now, when
except
he tries...
Except for shoot when the game is on the line.
Yeah, or, well, generally in period. Like,
yeah, generally. You know what? I got to give Rondo credit. He did take a couple shots confidently tonight. He had that corner three that he missed off of a really great pass from LeBron. Good. That he went right up and shot it, mm-hmm. and it didn't go in, and so it ultimately doesn't matter. But I was encouraged by him being a slightly more willing shooter. Now, I don't know if that's an actual, if I'm just attributing to this or if that's an actuality because of all the criticism he took for not shooting, mm-hmm. and people finally realizing that he's the J.R. Smith of passing. He just like, yeah. he refuses
he's to... He's a selfish, unselfish player.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I think Lakers fans were starting to realize that after last game. But I just, like, but tonight, so tonight he shot a little bit more confidently and a little bit more willingly, and that was good.
Yeah, and look, what it comes down to, and the money quote after the game was from LeBron saying that you don't want to be around when I lose patience, that we're going to reach that point here with Lonzo where, like, we can say that the Lakers are capable of a lot more if Lonzo works out or if Brandon Ingram works out. But eventually
they don't, and eventually it. The Lakers are shipping them out for Anthony Davis.
Yeah. And, you know, technically KCP, Lonzo Ball, and Brandon Ingram for Anthony Davis works under the cap. I just was throwing it out there. I don't feel one way or the other.
It's okay.
About
hey, people are throwing all kinds of things out without context tonight, so
including Luke with his lineups. Just throwing shit out there.
Throwing spaghetti at customers.
I want to finish on this then. So we know that there's probably going to be some kind of change made to the starting lineup.
Do we? I mean, Luke said that he wasn't sure.
Well, but we...
I guess he says he's not sure about anything after these games. His go-to, he figured out this year, what I've noticed from being there and then from watching on TV sometimes, is that he's figured out the hack to all these questions about lineups, mm-hmm. is if he doesn't like one or he doesn't want to answer right then, he can say, you know, honestly, I need to watch the tape.
Yep. Yeah, let's go to the tape.
Yeah.
But I do think, though, either Kuzma or Ingram finds their way to the bench. Oh, how did you take Ingram just kind of saying, I'm not coming off the bench?
I liked it, honestly. It was like, it was refreshingly honest and confident. And like, I like it when athletes are actually themselves and they actually reveal how confident they are instead of trying to say what they think we want to hear. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ingram basically laughing at the idea of himself coming off the bench was, you know, that was pretty telling to where he feels like he is as a player right now. And tonight he went out and showed it why he's so confident.
Yeah.
Although I saw some Lakers account, I don't know, it was one of these random accounts, but it was like feel free to at all the people down here that said that Ingram should be coming off the bench, and somebody like added silver screen and roll, and I was like, nobody at this site said that. Nobody at this was there anyone who was like Ingram should be coming off the bench? I think there were some people that said, I said I wouldn't be surprised if it happened just because the last lineup was kind of rolling, but I never said that he should be coming off the bench.
I think if he is just going to be used as a spot-up shooter, and you and I both agree that that's not how to use Brandon Ingram, if that's all he's turning into, then he shouldn't be playing with LeBron.
I think you got to go back to closer to what the original starting lineup was, and then I think you bring Kuz off the bench. Even though he's played better as the four next to LeBron, and you just keep playing Jonathan Williams and you play Kuz only as a four and try to stagger him some more minutes with LeBron. Maybe you bring Ingram off the floor first. Like tonight they were bringing LeBron off, but maybe you bring Ingram off first for Kuz, mm-hmm. and then when you bring LeBron off, you put Ingram back in, and you let him run with the bench for a little bit.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I think, look, until we know for, like, until we get a larger sample size and until we know for sure that maybe LeBron and Ingram figure it out together, I just think the Lakers are bashing their head up. Look, LeBron said after the game that, like, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and hoping for a different result. We keep hoping and hoping and hoping that at some point Ingram and LeBron have this chemistry that the Lakers frankly don't have time to wait for.
No, they don't. They need to play them some minutes together, but mm-hmm. I think they should try to stagger them while that experiment kind of develops.
Mm-hmm. Anything else from this game specifically that you wanted to hit on?
Not really. I mean, I don't want to sit here and criticize a two-way guy. I wasn't overly impressed with Jonathan Williams tonight. So I don't know. I think it's just like, it's one of those things where we have to be careful about anointing guys the answer a little bit too early. Mm-hmm. And I think there was a collective, and like myself included last week, that he would be a nice solution. And I think now that teams have some tape on him, they're starting to figure out what they can do to make him look like a two-way player versus mm-hmm. a superstar.
Yeah.
And so he'll either have to figure something out or the Lakers will. And it makes that last open roster spot pretty interesting.
I was always hesitant to go there with...
I never said he was the answer. It felt like he was a short term. It felt like he was duct tape.
So much of analysis of a guy like Jonathan Williams comes down to lack of expectations. Like, yeah. Nobody had any kind of stance on Jonathan Williams heading into the season. And when Absolutely. He goes out there and he looks better than Zubats and he looks better than Michael Beasley, then you kind of... I can understand why people responded the way that they did. That said, he's a two-way guy. There's a reason he wasn't even drafted.
Yeah.
People, the teams don't miss.
Well, like so sometimes, I think the second round of the draft, I've come around to the idea that it's a little bit of, will your guy sign this second round pick, or will he agree to play X amount of games? It's like a little bit of a political thing. You mm-hmm. can be talented enough to be taken in the second round and fall out just because teams are using, they're like, we'll draft you, but you have to agree to do this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
And so I think teams are using it to circumvent the cap a little and the CBA a little bit.
Wow.
You're just all 30 teams.
On all these teams.
All 30 teams together collectively. I'm not blaming any one team. This is not another tampering fine you can blame on me.
Yeah, we'll see how things turn out with Williams.
There are a lot of guys more plugged in than me that see it that way too. So
McGee plays 31 minutes. I don't think if I'm the Lakers, I want to see him above 25 minutes.
He talks a lot about how the asthma doesn't factor
it's
in.
It's a literal disease that he has.
He can't do anything about it. Yeah. And of course, he's a professional athlete. He's going to be confident that he mm-hmm. can play in the minutes that he's out there, and he's going to want to play more minutes. These guys want to play more minutes, unless you're like LeBron. Mm-hmm. Like, LeBron's probably like, play me less minutes, please.
I'd like to sit down.
And so, but like, other than him, most of these guys want more minutes and don't want to just be seen as giving up any rotation minutes. Mm-hmm. And so that's totally understandable. It doesn't mean that he's actually ready to play those minutes.
Yeah.
And I think that there was a little bit too much of, like, I saw this a lot from Lakers fans, like, oh, the asthma isn't a real thing. He says it's not a big deal. Luke says it's not a big deal. It's like, oh, really? The head coach wasn't willing to, like, say that a medical condition was going to keep a player out of the lineup and say that they were, like, discriminating against them for this medical condition? I'm shocked. And, like, a coach said a nice thing about a player during training camp. And so, even Luke has said, like they think that JaVale can play however many minutes they think he can play, but they want to do it in shorter stints because they think at the pace they play, it's not that JaVale is in bad condition, but Luke has kind of coached this by saying that at the pace they play, they want him to play shorter bursts.
Yeah.
And I think tonight he did play a little bit too much.
Yeah.
You're probably right.
Look, professional sports are funny. Like, in no other walk of life are people who are, you know, work their 9 to 5, are they expected to ignore medical advice? Like, the Dodgers have Kenley Jansen.
Well, and also nowhere else are people expect, or very few places are you expected to comment to the media on your coworkers or subordinates' performance publicly. Like, we should do a podcast post-game interview after this.
The Dodgers have Kenley Jansen, who at one point stopped taking his heart medication.
That's insane to me.
Because he thought it was affecting his ability on the playing field. JaVale McGee is out here saying that his literal disease that can preclude
him. Is that
him,
considered a disease? I don't know if it's a disease.
It's an inhibition, it's like at the very least.
Asthma. I'm going to Google, what is asthma considered?
But there are one of the effects of asthma is that you literally cannot breathe. Like, it affects your breathing ability, and yet he's out here saying
it's just called a respiratory condition. It's not a disease.
All right, so it's a condition that affects breathing.
It's a medical condition. I wasn't saying I just didn't want to be going out. I think diseases are contagious.
It seems important to be able to breathe.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Which is why I think I agree with you about JaVale.
Yeah, we'll see how that turns out. But again, I think what we're going to come down to is I think they're going to need a little bit better solution than Jonathan Williams as their backup center.
Yeah.
And nothing against Williams.
No. He's a great story. I think maybe he can be effective for them in bursts. But I think if you're trying to win stuff, you can't be relying on a two-way rookie.
Yeah. I completely agree. All right, we're going to wrap this one up here, throw it over to
the Lake Show, which is on Silver Screen. That was a nice synergy. Which is on Silver Screen and Rolls podcast feed. But real quick, before we sign off here, Anthony, just pretend that this is not me. I'm just a reporter. I'm not Harrison Fagan. Uh-huh. And I'm just going to... Anthony, how did you think Harrison did on the podcast tonight?
I'm going to have to go look at the tape.
Okay. That was a good answer. Now you could be an NBA coach. Way to go.
Have a great day, everybody. Again, tune into part two of this conversation on The Lake Show. It's in Silver Screen and Rolls podcast feed on iTunes.
We're on iTunes. We're working. Apparently, Google Play just kind of does their own. Like, they just decide when they're going to put a show on there, and usually it's right after iTunes. So we either may or may not be on there yet.
We'll find out.
And, yeah. So, but we're on iTunes. Search Silver Screen and Roll. And, Anthony, thank you for having me on our old podcast baby that we've built up together, and now I get no credit for.
Really great.